You are listening to Motif Mosaic.
The name of the show is Motif Mosaic. Your host is Blessing. Thanks for tuning in, strap in, listening, and welcome to the ride. Today, we'll just be looking at a couple of songs and stories, motifs, and ideas behind each of the songs and what I'll be sharing with you. So as we listen in, you know, today I was just thinking about my Bible, you know, the Holy Word of God, scriptures, the sacred texts, and all that's involved and what it took to get those texts to where I am today. You know, a lot of the times I don't think about what I'm reading or how it looks like or how it got to me. I just sometimes take it for granted. But really, when you look at it, when you think about it, from the invention of the printing press to translations of languages and people studying ancient languages so that they can translate it for me to understand, I think it takes a lot of effort. And, you know, just even in cases where Bibles were made illegal by certain governments and for Bibles to be shared, some people had to shed their blood even. And, you know, it's just something that I take for granted at times. And I just am reminded and I thank God, you know, to say that, oh, I have access to your word, Lord God. When I take my phone and I open the Bible app, I can read your word in translations that are comfortable to me across different languages with different cross references and commentaries and stuff. And really, it's such a privilege, you know, that we get to have the word of God, because sometimes I think about the early church, you know, they didn't really have a Bible, or not a lot of them were literate. And today, you know, I just think about myself, I can read, I can write, I can memorize, I can understand scripture, and I praise God for that. And, you know, when I think about scripture, a lot of the time, I just look at the different parables in the scriptures, the different stories that Jesus tells his disciples. And there's one story in particular to do with the word of God in itself. And that's the parable of the sower, you know, where Jesus describes that one day a sower went out into the fields and he was casting seeds onto the ground, because that's how they did agriculture back then. Some fell on rocky ground, some fell on the pathway, some fell on good soil, some fell among thorns. And, you know, he described, and he says that the one that fell upon the pathway, before it even got into the ground, birds had already taken it. And then some fell upon rocky soil when the sun came and they sprouted, because they didn't have much depth in themselves, they dried up. And some fell amongst thorns, which means that they grew, but because of the thorns that were around them, they were choked out and they couldn't bear much fruit. And then some fell among good soil and it was able to bear fruit, and, you know, to bear 60-fold, 100-fold, and just different numbers, you know, that it was able to reproduce. And then Jesus goes on to break it down and tell the disciples that the meaning of these words is that the word of God is a seed, and the different types of soil are the different types of hearts that receive the word of God. And, you know, it's really important that as we come to read scripture, as we come to take in the word of God, what is the position of our hearts? You know, there's just different positions that Jesus describes to the disciples. He tells them that some, you know, before it even enters in, the devil already steals it and takes it away. Some, there is a reception of it with joy, but when persecution comes, they turn away from the word of God. Some gets choked out by the cares of this world, by the anxieties and the deceitfulness of riches. And then lastly, what Jesus intends for each and every one of us in our heart to have is a soil that is able to receive the seed, that good soil, that good heart that is able to receive God's word, to listen to it and to obey it. That way it can bear fruit in our lives. So as we come to read our Bibles, as we come to listen to scriptures, you know, what is our heart's posture? You know, are we coming with humility to submit to the authority of God's word, to say that, Lord, your words are life, your word is alive, and I want it to cut into me? Because I'm reminded again of another scripture. It's in 2 Timothy, where Paul instructs Timothy and he tells him that the word of God is profitable for teaching us, for reproving us, for training us in righteousness, so that we're lacking nothing and we're fit to go out and to serve God and to do the work that he has for us. So as you listen into this next song, you know, it's called Ancient Words, and I just love the message that it has to say that God's word is true, that God's word has come down from ancient times. Back then it was working, still today it's working across time, across culture, across many different things. God's word is still good and it still teaches us and grows us in holiness. So this is Ancient Words by Michael W. Smith.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life,
And if you've ever been around Christians, or even if you've listened to Leonard Cohen, there's a word that's used that's of Greek, no, Hebrew origin, my mistake. And the word is hallelujah. And that word means to praise God. You know, it's a word that's broken down into two parts, where it says halle, which means to praise, and Yah, which is the name of God in the Bible, the name of Jehovah, as some ways it's transliterated to be. And this is just a command to praise God. You know, as Christians, we often use this word a lot to say, oh, praise God, hallelujah, he's so good, when we're feeling good, when, you know, we just feel that, yes, I'm in a great mood today and I'm so joyful, I just burst out and say hallelujah. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to know that in our joy, we can praise God and we can say hallelujah unto him because of his goodness and who he is and the testimonies that we have in our own lives. And that's something that, you know, we are called to practice each and every day. You know, it's actually a command in the Bible to rejoice in the Lord. It's what Jesus wants for each and every one of us, that we may have that joy each and every day, that we may be able to rejoice in his goodness, in his love for us, and all that he has done for us. And when you look at even in the Bible, you know, in the book of Psalms, the word hallelujah appears about 24 times. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on that word to just praise God and to say hallelujah unto him. There are some Psalms that even start with the word hallelujah and finish with the word hallelujah, especially if you look at what the psalmists actually do with that word. You know, in Psalm 146 verse 1, the psalmist is telling his soul to praise the Lord. And when you look at Psalm 150 verse 6, it says everything that has breath should praise the Lord. So all of creation praises God. And the psalmist is saying that in myself, even when I don't feel like it, even when my spirit is so low, I want to praise God because he's worthy of my praises, whether things are good, whether things are bad. And, you know, our hallelujah shouldn't just be a byproduct of us always just when we feel good, but at all times may we be ready to praise the Lord. At all times may we be able to fulfill this command that the Bible gives us, to praise God for his goodness, to praise God for his majesty. So when you listen to the song, be reminded, you know, that you do not have to wait for an answered prayer to say hallelujah. You don't have to wait for things to get better for you to say hallelujah. But we already know we have the victory. We already know that God has already won, that Jesus is already on the throne. So we can say hallelujah regardless of whatever it is that is going on in our lives. You know, you just think about Paul when he was in prison. What he did was he praised God. You know, they were singing hymns and they were praying and praising God. And we see that it did not matter to him where he was still able to praise God. So as you listen in, may you find your hallelujah all throughout your day and all throughout your situations and circumstances.
Hallelujah! I'm set free right where I'm sitting, is where I'm supposed to be.
I've been trying to find a way to get away. Don't wanna listen to what other people say, cause they don't know what I've been going through today. Right in the madness, you see my sadness. Take all my pain and exchange it for gladness. It'd be so tragic, those who don't have it. Your love is everything I'll ever need. But lately I ain't been sleeping well through the night. And sometimes I don't know if I wake up alive. And right in the madness, you see my sadness. Take all my pain and exchange it for gladness. It'd be so tragic, those who don't have it. Your love is everything I'll ever need.
Hallelujah!
So I really enjoy taking in works of fiction, and there's just this one work of fiction I think that's probably gotten popular online on across different media and platforms and stuff. And basically, the main quote that goes around is from a story about a boy of, I think, is it Swedish or Icelandic or just in that part of the world during the time when they had Vikings. This boy who grows up and he goes through a time of bitterness and a time of violence because he lost his father at a young age and he's sold into slavery and all these different things happen to him. And one of the main quotes of the story is that his father tells him that no one has enemies, and he comes to a point of realizing it in his own life after all the things that he's done, that indeed I have no enemies. Because at the same time, you know, when we're born into this world, we have no enemies. And to just read directly the quote from this work of fiction that I'm talking about, the father is telling his son and he says these exact words: "You have no enemies. No one in this world is your enemy. There's no one you need to hurt." And this is just an antidote to show that the cure for violence is not violence, but rather love and forgiveness. And it's one of the things that, you know, I enjoy this show, or I enjoy the work of fiction rather, to say that there's this philosophy that's being preached that we have no enemies. We're not born to hate anyone. We're not born to inflict pain upon anyone. But the next person to me is just another person who's trying to figure things out and who's going through life, even though there's struggles and ups and downs and may make mistakes, but I do not have to choose to make them my enemy or to hate them in any way. And you know, it aligns so much with what Jesus says. He says that we are ought to love one another, we ought to love our neighbor, and we ought to love our enemies. And when you look at it, you know, Jesus loved us first. That's how we're able to love in the first place, that Jesus loved us when we're still his enemies, that we're able to love him. When we wanted nothing to do with him, Jesus loved us. When we're at odds against him, instead of him crushing us rightfully, he chose to love us. He chose to make a way for us to be reconciled with the Father, even though, you know, we're the ones who are against him in the very first place. And it's one of those things that we ought to be reminded as people of God, that we have no place in our hearts for hate. We have no place in our hearts to seek vengeance. But when we look at our brother, may we know that we have no enemies. And I love the next song that I chose for us to listen to. It's Brother by The Brilliance. And basically what it says is that when I look into my enemy's eyes, I see my brother. When I look into the person who's causing me pain, who's inflicting me these things, instead of hating them, I'm going to choose to bless them, because I know that my Lord did the very same thing for me. And now, because of the kindness that I've been shown, I'm able to show it to my brother, regardless of our differences or the things that cause us to come into conflict.
When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. When I look into the face of my enemy, I see my brother, I see my brother. Thank you.
face of my enemy. I see my brother. I see my brother.
So just a question I'm going to throw out there is, when exactly do you feel that you are closest to God? You know, when exactly do you feel or understand that God is near to me and you can feel him in proximity as though you can almost touch him and you can hear him in your daily walk and your routine to say that I'm truly feeling and walking in the presence of God? Is it when everything is all right? Is it when we're at the highest point of our spiritual walk? Because it's so easy to say that I feel so close to God because I'm able to pray, I'm able to read my Bible, I'm able to serve God in the capacity and the ways that God has gifted me to do. But do we say the same thing when things just seem to be slowing down, when things just seem to not be okay, when things just seem to continue to fail us and frustrate us? Are we able to say that I still feel close to God, or God is still near to me, even though things aren't as bright or sunny as I want them to be? Because we have this thing, well, I have this thing where it's so easy to say that God is near to me because everything is shining bright and everything seems to be going okay. And, you know, I'm just on the mountaintop. I'm at a peak in terms of all the things that regard my spiritual life or anything like that. But are we able to say that, God, you're still near to me, even in the shortcomings, even in the times where things are dark or there just seems to be no hope? You know, I'm reminded of what the psalmist writes in Psalm 23. I'm sure a lot of people know it. That says, the Lord is my shepherd. But one part in particular that I look at and I think about, and I was just thinking about as I listened to the song at times that's going to come up next, is that it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And, you know, are we able to have that confidence to say that God is near to me, even in those times where it just seems like there's a shadow or there's darkness or things just seem so hopeless and there's just all these things that make it seem like there's no way out? Or are we able to confidently say that my shepherd is with me even in those shadows, even in those times where it seems like death is near to me? Am I able to confidently say that God is with me even when I don't feel safe, even when I just have no assurance based on the things that I see, but I know that my shepherd is near me? Because that's exactly the motif behind the song. You know, it's called Oh God by Citizens. And they just talk about how God is near at all times, even in those times where we're tired, even in those times of the struggle, God is still near to us. And the main verse that inspired the song, actually inspired the writers, is in Romans 8, where it says that, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, no things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, no anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's this assurance that we can have that there's nothing that will separate us from God. There's nothing that will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. No matter what it is that you're going through, I want you to know that God is still near to you. God is still hearing you. God is still walking with you. So as you listen in, be reminded that God is near.
In the valley, oh God, you're near. In the quiet, oh God, you're near. In the shadow, oh God, you're near. Am I breaking? Oh God, you're near. Oh God, you never leave my side. Your love stand firm through all my life. Wandering, oh God, you're near. We
and I feel alone. Oh God, you're near. Am I low end? Oh God, you're near. Oh God, you never leave my side. We are joined as one by the blood. Hope will rise as we become more and conquerors through the one who loved the world.
So there's this story in the ministry of Jesus and just his time on this earth where he comes across 10 men who had leprosy. And if you know what it is, it was just a skin disease at the time. And for anyone who had leprosy, you were excluded from the rest of the society because it was contagious. And at times, you know, it even just led to limbs having to be severed off your body. So the moment someone was known to be a leper, they had to go and stay outside of the city, away from everyone else, away from everything else, and no one in society would even want to interact with them. And so these 10 lepers come up to Jesus and they ask for healing, and they're healed by Christ Jesus. And Jesus says, oh, go to the temple and give this offering to show that you have been healed of your leprosy. And then after all these things have happened, what happened was, from the 10 lepers who were healed, only one of them came back to thank Jesus. And when you look at it, you know, it's just a reflection of our attitude in terms of gratitude, because these 10 men, these 10 lepers really needed the healing of God. They came and they asked God, heal us if you will, and they got their healing. But afterwards, what happened? You know, what was the attitude after they received the answer to their prayer? Was that for 90% of them, they were not able to say thank you, but that one person, that's 10% out of them, was able to come back and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. And I think it's just a reflection at times that when we're praying for things, are we still looking to God, or are we just going to be satisfied when we get that one thing that we wanted and we're asking God for, and then that's it, and we don't come back to God again to thank Him? Because it's a reflection, you know, to see that as I have my problems, am I still remaining in contact with God? Am I still abiding in the Lord to say that, Lord, I thank you that you've answered me, but I still want you, you know, to say that my soul is not completely satisfied by receiving these things that you've given me, but I press on to you and I press on in thanksgiving to you. Because yes, you know, we receive things, but are we grateful for these things? Are we still saying, Lord, you have given me this, but I will not take complete ownership over it, because I know you are giving me these things to steward them, to take care of them, and to glorify your name. And so as we take account in our lives of the things that we have, are we really full of thanksgiving for all the things that we have? Are we reminding ourselves that it is God who has given me these things? And so as we do so, you know, it's important, it's paramount for our faith that we continue to give thanks. We continue to count the things that we've been given by God. And that's the will of God for each and every one of us, that we give thanks in all circumstances, that before you receive the answer to your prayer and after you receive the answer to your prayer, may you continue to give thanks to the Lord for all that He has done for you. And so as we listen into this song, you know, just to kind of give you a preamble of what is to come, one of the lyrics that I enjoy as I listen to the song is that I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. And that's the attitude that I hope to achieve fully in my life. So this is Counting My Blessings by Sif Schulter.
It's like it was yesterday, I was praying for a miracle, scared to have a little hope. But now looking back today, seeing all the things you've done, I can't even add them up. 1, 2, 3, up to infinity. I'd run out of numbers before I could thank you for everything. God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, more of your goodness I'll find. Father, on this side of heaven, I know that I'll run out of time, but I will keep counting my blessings, knowing I can't count that high. And I know the seasons never last forever, God, I will remember all of the reasons my heart has to be grateful, all the times you've been faithful to me. And God, I'm still counting my blessings, all that you've done in my life. The more that I look in the details, the more of your goodness I'll find.
And if you know the story of Moses, is that God appoints this man to bring the people out of Egypt. And, you know, it's coined a great exodus. It's a great exiting out of this place of slavery. And what happens in the story, something that actually caught my attention was that in chapter 6, thereabout, in the book of Exodus, God is telling Moses, go and tell the people of Israel that you're going to deliver them out of their slavery. You're going to take them out of this place one day, and they're going to have freedom, and they're going to walk in my promises, and everything that I'm telling you to tell them is going to take place. But what happens is that when Moses goes and he meets the people of Israel and he tells them, this is what God is telling me, that there's freedom for you people. But the thing is, they didn't want to listen to him. You know, it says that they had a harsh spirit and they were crushed by the harshness of the slavery. That Moses had good news for them at the time, but they couldn't simply take it in because of the reality around them. They couldn't take it in because of what they were facing and what they were going through. And when I look at it, in our own walk with Christ, you know, we're told that Jesus Christ has given us freedom. We're given promises that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. But how many of us actually take that and believe in it to say that there is freedom for me and you, that we are no longer slaves to sin, but we're now servants of God, slaves to righteousness rather, you know, knowing that we have this freedom in Christ Jesus? Or are we letting the circumstances and the situation around us dictate whether or not we're going to believe God's promise, to dictate whether or not we have this freedom in God? Because as children of God, as those who have been set free, who have received salvation, who have been saved, we ought to live and walk in freedom. So as you listen into the song, be reminded we are no longer slaves, but we have this freedom that is granted to us in Christ Jesus.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer chosen me. Your love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins.
you for listening to Motif Mosaic.